Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Great to be here with you guys on a Wednesday. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
It is running together. Paulie and I have been out here since Friday. And, man, it is cold out here. It's very dry, as you know. You're in the desert. I've got very cracked and dry skin. And literally every muscle in my body hurts. And I mean down to my toes, to every extremity on my body is just in a tremendous amount of pain. But I did not choke on my breakfast yet this morning. I say yet because I have not eaten breakfast yet. There's still a chance that I can go back-to-back days getting the Heimlich maneuver. It was a really fun story yesterday out at Stretch when everyone heard about it and, of course, proceeded to make every dirty joke you could imagine. Oh, Woodsy, I thought you would be used to that. I thought, you know, and I'm like, all right, I'm at baseball camp. This is what happens. I mean, everybody was in on it yesterday. If you missed it, I choked on my breakfast yesterday and had to get the Heimlich maneuver from one of my fellow campers, Alex, from B&B Appliance. And it was really, really not a great way to start the day. I'm Woodsy. To my right is our little Sicilian meatball himself, Benjamin Higgins. Good morning, meatball.
Good morning. I hear a lot of complaints from you about how sore you are and how dry it is. Choking on your breakfast. I look at you two. You guys are so happy to be here.
Yeah, we are.
We really are. You love this. Yep. You are so happy. I don't think I see you happier all year long than this week here at Fantasy Camp in Peoria. So stop with the complaints all the time.
Well, it's more of just it's more observations. You know, it's a good pain. It's a good sore. It's not a good dry. Being dry is
That's true.
My fingers are like cracking.
It's dry back in San Diego as well.
That's true.
Right now,
too dry, so, yeah. Actually. Shout out to everybody over in Mission Valley that had some nerve-wracking hours yesterday. Paulie Reindl joins us as well, the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you? I was FaceTiming with my wife last night after we got home from dinner. And, you know, she goes, how was the day? I go, honestly, from start to finish, about as bad of a day as you can have out at Padres Fantasy Camp, which is still a pretty good day.
Pretty good day.
But, I mean, from the technical issues in the morning to going out and playing a game in 35-degree weather with wind just whipping you in the face to a bunch of drama to another game. And then, yeah, I mean, it was a long day, but we're all doing
And you both went you both went 0-2 yesterday, I understand, in your two games.
Yeah, lost both games.
About as excruciating as it can be. The tying run on third in the first game, walked off in the second game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm I didn't take an inning off yesterday. I pitched the first three innings, gave up a run in each. You're only allowed to throw three innings at a time. So I gave up a run in each, probably one or two earned, which I haven't thrown in a year. I wasn't too disappointed. Struck out a bunch of guys, walked a bunch of guys. I'm a literal Nuke LaLoosh, but without any velocity. Hit a couple people, you know, the usual, and then played the rest of the time at short. So my legs are just on fire. My patella, I have a, you know, your patella, your kneecap, is sliding around in my right knee. So I can't be good. So I don't know what that
exactly
means.
That's supposed to remain in place.
It's supposed to be in place,
think,
and it's sliding around every time I move my knee. So in for another doubleheader today. Today's going to be a fun one, though, man. We had a great time last night. We went out as a show and had dinner at a place called the Sicilian Butcher. And it's in Glendale.
There he is.
Oh, there he is. And we had the best time. We all had had a glass of wine. Ben, you were very surprised that I was a wine guy. Why is that?
I don't know. I don't see you drinking very often. I mean, when you do it like three or four times a year and usually out of my presence.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I was picturing you as a more of a bourbon or, I don't know, perhaps beer person, but when you ordered the red wine, I was impressed. You had a nice Pinot. Looked like you enjoyed it.
Oh, God. And that's the problem. That's why I don't drink a lot of things, because I enjoy it. And I enjoy it a lot. And it's real hard to turn the old gas, shut the gas off.
You did the whole, like, swirl it around in the glass, aerate it.
I think the actual quote at the table was Ben going, I didn't know you were a wine guy.
Yeah, I didn't know you were a wine guy.
And
he thinks I'm a cretin.
If it's bad for you, I like it.
Yeah.
And alcohol's not good for you.
It's not good for you.
So I wouldn't say I thought you were a cretin. I just thought you were more of a hard liquor sort of fellow. I had a Manhattan. I had bourbon, and I thought that was probably where you were going to go, in an old fashioned or something along those lines.
I like it all, man. Huh. I really, really like it all. It's the thing. It's really the only thing that scares me about retirement. Is there? It's like, the kids are gone. I don't have to go to work tomorrow. Like, I don't want to get into that mode of like, I'll just try this bottle of wine, and then maybe I'll have another bottle of wine. It just is a bad. I'm just a. Once I get started, I can't stop. So I've, over the years, through a lot of trial and error and a lot of getting in trouble, I've just learned to curtail my drinking. And it's because I enjoy it. I do. I love all of it. I love everything you just mentioned. I love the bourbon, the vodka. I love the beer. I love the wine. I love it all. And so I just think, you know, for me, shut it down after a glass. But the food we had, you know, homemade pasta. I had a chicken carbonara that was absolutely incredible. I had a cannoli that was delicious. And again, for us, man, just being able to go out and have a dinner together is always a good time. And we always have a good time when we go out. So after all these years, the show, we're still madly in love with each other, and that feels good.
And, of course, we did share the famous Ferris wheel of meatballs.
Well, you say share. You ate 85% of it. I had a bite of two different ones.
Well, you kept going. I don't want that one. I don't want that one. I didn't want them to go to waste. I mean, they were sitting there, so. I just want to make sure they all got finished.
I've never seen a guy eat so many meatballs in my life. Would you be mad if your new nickname was Meatball?
Not really. It's not the worst. Meatballs with our little meatball was my favorite caption.
Meatball Higgins.
Meatball Higgins, man. He did. He was sucking them down. Man, it was a great night, great day. But, yeah, so we're back here bright and early this morning. I'll give you guys a couple of highlights from yesterday. Now, I'm not talking about on the field. Nobody cares how we did. But, listen, we're here yesterday morning and got to see Tyler Wade walked in. And it's so wild. Like, there's no Padre that should be our guy more than T-Wade, right? Like, you know, kind of the last guy on the bench, gets in a couple times a week, feels like a Ben and Woods guy. The only problem is he's way too handsome for our show.
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, BOG was a handsome fella too, but Tyler Wade feels like he should be our guy. So I went up and I introduced myself to him. And I said, T-Wade, I'm Woodsy from Ben and Woods. He goes, I know who you guys are. And I said, will you please, please come on with us at spring training? He goes, 100%, would love to. And then he's like, man, those Dodgers, dude, that is crazy what they're doing up there. He used more colorful language. I can't do it on the radio. But then, so it was cool, man. It was nice meeting Tyler Wade. It was really cool. Then Jackson Merrill walks in, and Jackson Merrill's here walking around. So then we go out for stretch, and on one side you have all these big, fat, out-of-shape campers, ourselves included. And we're doing our warm-up and, you know, stretch and everything. Down to the right, T-Wade, Jackson Merrill, and a couple other guys, they're running their sprints. And you want to talk about the juxtaposition of human beings. You're looking at me going, I can't even believe we're the same gender. Like, you run in the way that I run. I can't even believe we are both men.
Species is species, the word that's what that you're looking
that's
for.
That's what I meant.
Not gender.
Well, whatever. We're, like, he's a man. I'm a man. We don't run the same. We don't look the same. So he, you know. So then later, I run into Jackson. He's sitting in the chair in the training room. And I walk up to him, and I go, hey, man, how you doing? He goes, hey, I'm good, Woodsy. How you doing? I said, I'm good. I said, how's the off season? And he looked back. He goes like this. Oh, effing terrible. It's so slow. He goes, I'm so effing bored. He just wants to get back to.
He would play 300 baseball games a year if he could.
I'm surprised he wasn't out there shagging with us.
Or out in the Dominican League or something. Just playing ball baseball. Anywhere he can.
Yep.
Whether it's in Florida, Arizona, internationally. Like, he just wants to play baseball all year long.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing to me.
I remember being in the locker room at Dodger Stadium after Game 5, and specifically talking to Jackson Merrill about, you know, it's the off season now. This was a long, your rookie year.
Yeah.
You've never played like this before. And he had the thought, like, yeah, I'm going to shut it down for a little bit. But you could already see the wheels kind of turning. But I don't want to shut it down for as long as they're going to make me shut it down for. I want to shut it down for like 2 days.
Yeah.
And then let's get back up and going again. He just wants to be out there. He wants to be playing.
It's a beautiful thing, man, when you see a guy that you know, you look at like Jackson Merrill after the year he had, and all the guy wants to do is just get back to playing baseball. I would say with 100% accuracy, not every big league player feels like that, okay? That's a fair statement, I think, to make. Not every big league player is like, I can't wait to get back to the grind, the drills, the 162, the travel. That dude wants it, and I love that about him. Now, hey, listen, the cynicism may set in over time, over the next decade or so, but great, man. That gives us 10 good years of him wanting to do nothing but play baseball for the San Diego Padres, and hopefully he's here forever, because what a great dude. He went and took pictures with the campers. Once the campers heard that he was here, they flocked to him, man.
I talked to him. It was lunch in between the two games. I went into the trainer's room to grab something. And I was like, oh, Jackson Merrill's just hanging out in the trainer's room watching, you know, a couple of 300-pound guys get
rubbed down.
On.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there chatting it up with everybody. And then it was like just word spread like crazy that Jackson Merrill was here. Because now that I thought about it, when we saw him in the morning when we were doing our show, everybody else was in a closed-door meeting. They had no idea he was even here. And so word spread like crazy, and all of a sudden I look around the corner. There's a line of 20-plus fantasy campers waiting for a picture, an autograph, and he signed and took a picture with every single person here. And it just, like, there were a couple of guys on my team for the second game when we got out there, rookies, never been to fantasy camp before, and they go, hey, check it out, I got a picture with Jackson Merrill. Like, this is literally the greatest week of my life.
No, it is. It is. And having a guy that's, you know, kind enough to do that and you know, wanting to be here early and put in the work is great.
Yeah,
and
Jackson, maybe the biggest draw here, but the biggest name remains Trevor Hoffman.
And
coming up on the program today, we are going to sit down with the Hall of Famer. He's got some new compatriots that are going to be inducted into Cooperstown. They made that announcement yesterday. Three new inductees into the National Baseball Hall of Fame, Ichiro, CC Sabathia, and Billy Wagner all going in. We'll talk to Trevor about the new class, about just how things are going, and looking forward to that coming up later in the program. But as with yesterday and every day at Fantasy Camp, we play a little bit by ear. We'll talk to some of the coaches, the fantasy campers, the camp counselors, as it were, as we go on this morning. Should be a good
camp
show today.
Counselors.
The camp counselors.
Camp counselors.
Camp counselors. Exactly what they are. Well, listen, California sports fan, I got good news. Underdog is now available to play in our state. The best place to cash in on all of your hot takes. Everyone thinks they're so smart, right? I hear it all the time. Hey, put your money where your mouth is, essentially. You got football playoffs coming up. I don't do a lot with Underdog on basketball, but I know a lot of you guys do and are good at it. Ben's pretty good at it. With over 5 million happy players and 2 billion won, Underdog makes it fun and easy to cash in on all your favorite athletes' performances. I'm really ready for baseball season because I'm going to actually do higher than a half a hit or a one and a half hit for Jackson Merrill almost every game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't wait for baseball to get here for many reasons, but Underdog's one of them. With their pick'em game, you can win up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on player stats, yards, touchdowns, hits, all of those things. So it's going to be really, really fun with Underdog's double flex option. You can even take two L's and turn them into a dub. Been having a lot of fun with Underdog. I know you guys are too. Underdog, the best place to play pick'em. Download the app. Sign up with the promo code Woods. Deposit now to get up to 1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code Woods. Must be 18 and over. Present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms do apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Ben Woods live from Padres Fantasy Camp in Peoria, Arizona. Where it is, it's chilly, no doubt about it. We can feel it even broadcasting inside here. I did see we got the jump on the San Diego Padres, but I saw yesterday that they are sending the trucks of equipment out to Peoria on Thursday morning. They're going to leave Petco Park, pack everything up, make the drive over, and probably we'll see the trucks arriving here at some point and start unloading all the gear, so they'll have it ready when spring training begins in just a couple of weeks. The Padres pitchers and catchers reporting, I believe, February 12th is the date officially. But, you know, guys start rolling in a little bit early, as you mentioned in our first segment. Tyler Wade, Jackson Merrill, some of the players who already here and spending some of their offseason here at the Padres camp at the Peoria Sports Complex.
Yeah, you know, and I wonder, you know, when the trucks roll in is kind of your first inclination that spring training is on the way. And, you know, I was having this conversation with my wife last night, and she asked me, you know, how's it going? And I said, you know, babe, I said, we're in a weird spot. We're in a weird spot, I think, as Padres fans. And I understand it, you know. And I said, I feel, and this is just the way I feel, and you guys can tell me if I'm crazy or not. I said, I feel weird. Like, I just feel this weird vibe right now. I said, everybody's really angry. And I said, it's an odd off season because, you know, hope usually springs eternal. And you're like, after the year we had last year, none of us, you know, take out the lawsuit and all that stuff, right? If that didn't exist, I think we'd all still be pretty fired up, even though they hadn't made any moves, right? But you've got this thing kind of lurking over the organization. And I said, as a broadcaster and as somebody that likes to come in and do 4 hours of entertainment and fun and celebrate the game of baseball, I don't feel right about it. And I said, and that sucks. She said to me, she goes, I know what you mean. She said, I feel like I need to take some time off. And she said, but it's weird because we're in the off season. This is when you take time off. And she said, I feel the same way. I said, for example, I said, on no planet should I have felt weird yesterday about putting Jake Peavy on the air and celebrating, you know, being out here and playing baseball and loving baseball and talking to Ashby and getting baseball stories. I said, but I'll be honest with you. I do. People want us in here angry and railing and mad. And I understand it because there's parts of me that feel that way as well. So I'm having a hard time, you know, discerning what's the right way to feel on a daily basis when we come in here and do this show. I don't want to turn a blind eye to the fans that are mad. I don't want to turn a blind eye to the fans that are like, I'm protesting. I don't want to turn a blind eye to anybody that is like, what are we doing? Because, again, I feel the same way. But there's the part of me that, even if I didn't do this job, would still love baseball and will always love baseball. And so I just feel weird celebrating baseball right now, and I don't know why.
You mentioned that to me yesterday, last night, and I said, yeah, I feel the same way. Like, of course I'm upset. I need some signings. I need some moves to discuss. This is brutal. It's been a pretty crappy offseason, but at least my hope is that a week like this, a little break away from all of that in fantasy camp, could maybe some of these interviews and the stories that are going to be shared all week can just kind of serve as an escape from all of that anger and all of that uncertainty with the team and everything like that. Because I had a couple of people reach out and somebody messaged me yesterday and they go, I hadn't really even thought about Chris Gomez in God knows how long. I forgot how much I loved him. Thank you for putting him on. He was awesome yesterday.
I got a DM yesterday about that guy right there.
Andy Ashby.
It said, man, the Ashby story gets me so fired up. I love it so much. I'm so ready for baseball. You know, if we sign anybody, great. If we don't, that's fine too. I'm ready to get these games going. And, you know, when the games start and opening day comes around, look, there's going to be, we always say it, there's going to be a faction of fans that are never happy. There's going to be a faction of fans that are always 100% positive. And I'm somewhere in the middle. And it's a weird place to be. I understand your anger. But I when I'm out here, like, I don't want to be angry. I want to have fun. I want to hear these great stories from these incredible legends.
So I certainly understand the angst, at least, in the Padres fan base right now. However, my philosophy, and, you know, I'm not going to tell you how to fan however you want, but this is how I tend to do it. I'm not going to get pre-mad about something before it actually happens. There hasn't been a single game played since the end of last season when the Padres had, let's all agree,
great
a
season.
Really special, great season. And nothing, there has been not one single game played. Now, you can think that, oh, they probably should be making more moves, but just as often as the moves work out for teams, they don't work out for teams as well. You sign guys, it turns out to be big mistakes sometimes. So you don't know whether a team that is active is actually getting better and improving or maybe getting worse because they signed the wrong guys. Or a team that's not doing a lot may think, oh, they're regressing. They're getting worse. Or you could always say, well, they've got some continuity. They've got guys coming back. They're not making a lot of changes. They're not tinkering with a ton of things. I know that the Padres, I think, still need to make some moves. I believe that they will in the coming weeks, that A.J. Preller is still looking around and, you know, trying to do things that he thinks is going to make the team better. So I'm not going to get pre-mad. I will file everything away, and if the Padres have a disappointing season, a bad season, and they feel like, boy, they should have made, you know, some more moves in the offseason that could have alleviated that, then, yes, then later I can get a little angry and go, hey, what were we doing last offseason? But right now, I just feel like it doesn't make a lot of sense to get pre-mad about a season that doesn't even start for a couple of months yet.
Yeah, Eric says it sounds like cope, and I think there's some of that. I think, you know, but again, it's and, you know, and here comes the chat already. Is Ben really saying that it's okay they haven't made moves because they could fail? No, I think what he's saying is let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, all right, the offseason isn't even over yet.
Let's see how it plays out. I think that's the general consensus. And but no, I mean, the weird thing for me is that I love this game. I love all of it. I love talking to these players. I love hearing their stories. I love pitching yesterday and having Jake Peavy give me tips in the middle of the inning, you know, to lengthen my stride and not throw more strikes. Not even my coach. and he was giving me tips. He is on fire for baseball still. And that's the spot I'm trying to live in. And it's not easy. I'm being honest with you guys from my heart. It's not easy. I understand the anger. I'm angry too. And I wish there was a little bit more clarity on what's going to happen moving forward. Probably not going to see that for a while. So why am I working myself into a tizzy about things that haven't happened yet, things that are out of my control? You know, it's something I work on in my personal life all the time. I cannot control somebody else's mood. I can't control what somebody else does. I'm just speaking to you honestly. It's a weird spot to be in. But, you know, today my headspace is one where I'm elated to talk to Trevor Hoffman. Why? Because it's Trevor Hoffman, and I'm always excited to talk to him, and that's going to happen on this program very soon, and I'm not apologizing for that. You know what I mean? I refuse.
We will start bringing in some of our special guests here coming up at the bottom of the hour, so do not go away. Live from Fantasy Camp, Padres and Ben and Woods continues here. Well, let's start by telling you a little bit about Trust and Will this morning, Woods. During our holiday break, we were approached by one of our colleagues saying, hey, we got this business. They want to advertise with your show. It's called trustandwill.com. Do you guys have a will? And we both go, no. I mean, we never really thought we needed one. And then we started learning about why you actually should put things down on paper to save your loved ones a lot of grief, a lot of hassle, and perhaps a lot of money in fees, probate court, that you can just avoid by setting up a simple document at trustandwill.com.
Yeah, make sure you get that trust, Benny, if you want to avoid probate, lengthy and costly process. Even with a will, probate is unavoidable, so only a trust can help you bypass that. So make sure today Listen, it took us 20 minutes over the break to do it. Very simple. They walk you through it. It's trustandwill.com. The code for a little discount for you is San Diego. It's all one word, San Diego. Go to trustandwill.com. Use the code San Diego. You'll get 10% off plus free shipping of all your estate plan documents. And again, trustandwill.com.
Really simple. You just answer some questions. You go through it. Guides you through the process. It's much easier than like even signing up for your health insurance at the end of the year, I would say, at your employer.
It actually is.
It's actually quite a bit easier. Send you the documents. And again, use the code San Diego, all one word, to get 10% off at trustandwill.com. That's trustandwill.com. Woods here is just racking up the fines in Kangaroo Court.
This is
which
insane.
Takes place later today.
I haven't even done anything. Four!
Judge Andy Ashby here is just ticking off the violations one by one.
This is terrible.
Woods was getting his knee looked at by JoJo during the break. I guess that's a violation.
Apparently.
Somehow.
JoJo, one of the awesome trainers here at Fantasy Camp. I know he drops off his kids on his way in.
Yeah.
Like, the guy had just walked into the building, had his backpack on still, had not even set his backpack down in his office, and Woods was like, hey, can you work on this knee?
I just said, take a look at it. And I texted him last night about it.
Remember when we asked yesterday about the difference between high-maintenance players and low-maintenance players? How Chris Gomez was a low-maintenance player? This is high-maintenance, Woods.
I'm just trying to get on the field to help my team win. That's all I want to do. You guys know me. I just want to win. That's it.
Brett Boone just walked past, and we'll probably talk to Booney at some point. Obviously, he's a regular on our program, but did you know that our next guest was once traded for Brett Boone and Ryan Klesko by the San Diego Padres? Yep. Coming up in just a couple of minutes after he finishes his breakfast, we will be joined by former Padres and California Angels and Kansas City Royals first baseman Wally Joyner is going to sit down and talk with us for a couple of minutes. Looking forward to talking to Wally here. Had an amazing career. Boy, he took baseball by storm in 1986 when the Big A in Anaheim became Wally World after the vacation movie. And he was, I think, runner-up to Jose Canseco in Rookie of the Year. He was the starting all-star first baseman for the American League in 1986 as well. Of course, went on to play for the San Diego Padres later in his career, became a hitting coach for the Padres and the Detroit Tigers. In his career as well as a coach, and now he is here at Padres Fantasy Camp. He is joining us right now, picking up the microphone. It is our pleasure to welcome to Ben and Woods, the great Wally Joyner is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Wally, it is nice to meet you in person. Good to see you, and
you.
Welcome to Fantasy Camp.
I appreciate that.
How you doing?
I'm a little sore.
Yeah. I mean, imagine how we're feeling.
Third day in camp, you got to get a little sore.
Yeah. Man, you had such a great career. Such a great career.
Thank you.
I remember being a kid and playing baseball in high school. And they had me at third, and they realized, probably not the best spot for him. Let's move him over to first. And I didn't have a first baseman's mitt, so I went and bought one, and it was a Wally Joyner model. And I remember it to this day. I remember looking down in there going, oh, hell yeah, that's a Wally Joyner. I remember your rookie card with the Topps rookie card with the little trophy off to the side. You know, had it forever. And it's just wild to see you here in person, knowing, you know, I spit into your glove 7,000 times when I was a kid.
Yes,
man.
Sir.
It was great. Tell us about I'm reading this, and did somebody really throw a knife at you when you were playing? Is that a true story?
I don't. I think it was just an angry Yankee fan.
Yeah.
That he just heaved it out.
Knife.
Yeah.
An actual knife.
We had a two-game series with the Yankees. Mike Witt threw a complete game. We got the last out in Yankee Stadium. We were on the mound congratulating him, and everybody was there. And I had just high-fived Mike Witt, and I turned around, and something hit me right in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And I thought it was Mike wanting to say something to me. So I looked back at him, and I said, what do you need? And he goes, what are you talking about? I said, and then we looked down in the ground, and there was a buck knife with the blade about 5 inches sticking in the ground.
I am speechless right now. That obviously should never happen. Was that a common thing for you in New York, or for you guys when you played in New York?
That was a one and done. You know, the rest of the story was when the Yankees came to Anaheim. Dave Winfield ran out to right field, and he was pelted with rubber knives that
said,
Welcome to Wally World. So it was pretty good.
Unbelievable, man.
Wally, we just saw Jackson Merrill of the Padres have an incredible rookie season, finished runner-up in the National League Rookie of the Year voting. I thought he should have won it. You did the same with the California Angels in 1986. Tell me about that, the phenomenon of Wally World. Did you know, were you confident going in you were going to have a good season? Because it takes guys sometimes, you know, a couple of years to, you know, adapt to Major League pitching and just get comfortable. Why did you feel like you had so much success so early on in your career?
No, I absolutely didn't know. I was an unknown that was playing first after Rod Carew played his career. The Angels made a decision to let him go, and went to spring training, had a good spring training, had a great veteran team to break in with, which I think helped me quite a bit. I had Bobby Gritch at second base, Doug DeSensei at third, Bob Boone, one of my best friends, was catching every day. You know, a lot of people didn't care for our manager, Gene Mock. I loved him. I learned a lot from Gene about how to play the game of baseball, which I think was very helpful. George Hendrick, Reggie Jackson, they were both on the team. So I just kept my mouth shut and my eyes open, and I learned a lot that year. Don Sutton was one of our pitchers. So it was a veteran-laden team. I got off to a quick and fast start, and I had a lot of support by these guys, and I think that was very helpful.
Talking to Wally Joyner here on Ben and Woods this morning, and, you know, you're a fantasy camp coach, but after your playing career, you coached a bunch of different teams, many different roles. More frustrating coaching big leaguers or coaching these guys, teaching them how to hit?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but you have to have a little talent.
Right. Okay, yeah, allegedly, right?
Yeah. No, the big leaguers were so much fun. I absolutely enjoyed every day that I had a chance to coach. My last 3 years, I was blessed with being with Brad Ausmus and with the Detroit Tigers, and my job on that team was just to make sure everybody showed up on time. We had Victor Martinez, Miguel Cabrera, Ian Kinsler, J.D. Martinez,
wow.
Nick Castellanos. So I just stayed out of their way.
You just fed the tea.
I did.
You put this here? And
I think my the best coaching I gave all of them was to do it again.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Just
do it again.
Just do it again. So, you know, 2016 was my last year. It was 30 years in the game, and I've enjoyed my time post-career, post-coaching. But this week has been a lot of fun.
Do you watch much baseball now?
Oh, sure.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, who do you like? When you watch guys hit, anybody that you look at and say, that guy, he's got a little Wally Joyner in him.
Well, I'm fond with, you know, J.D. Martinez broke in. He actually struggled a little bit with Houston Astros,
yeah.
And then we picked him up. And my assistant coach, Darnell Coles, who does and still does a great job, he's with the Washington Nationals. They hit it off. And so I watch JD. I watch Nick Castellanos with the Phillies. You know, I'll watch my Padres. I wish I could watch the Angels. But it's frustrating.
Tough, yeah.
It's tough to watch them. I love them, and I want them to be successful. But, you know, it just seems like they just can't figure it out yet. So hopefully this year will be different.
One step forward, a couple steps back. You know, with the Angels, we have Angel fans that listen to us.
Yeah.
You know, being in close proximity, and you know, I think we're in kind of lockstep. You know, I mean, we've had some playoff success and made some runs, and man, they've had some really great players, and it just hasn't seemed to click.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've obviously had a lot of tragedy in the organization as well.
Yeah, injuries, tragedy.
And it's just been one gut punch after another.
You know, you got to give the owner credit for he's gone out and gotten the players, and it just hasn't worked out. Some of the players have had some season-long injuries that puts a big void in that lineup.
Yeah.
But you know, when you have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani for a number of years, you would hope that you could get to the postseason.
No doubt.
So.
Talking to Wally Joyner here at Padres Fantasy Camp, and he came to San Diego a decade into your career, 1996, joined a team playing for Bruce Bochy that was looking for a playoff appearance after a long time, and obviously the 96 season beating out the Dodgers at the end, and the 1998 going to the World Series against the Yankees. What were some of your, one or two of your favorite memories of that era, those years with the San Diego Padres?
Well, I got to say that the fans were incredible. The owners, John Moores, Larry Lucchino, they put a great product on the field, and the fans appreciated it. They came out and they supported us, and I think 96 was a stepping stone to 98. We got some nice pieces put together in 96. We finished off in 98. Kevin Brown and a few more guys that year that kind of solidified our team, and off we go. So, you know, the whole year of 98, we actually still have a 98 thread.
Oh, we've heard.
that is epic.
Yeah.
Nothing is off limits.
Right.
And we love each other. We get together as much as we can. But, you know, I don't know. I mentioned this in a Padre article that one of my memories in 98 was the amazing reaction by the fans after we lost game four. And we're all dejected and exhausted. And all of a sudden we hear this noise out in the stadium and nobody left. Everybody started to cheer. And I'll never forget that.
You know, special. Something I remember from that season when you bring up the fans, I was a young man, Padres fan in that season, and I remember going to game four of the NLCS against the Braves. You guys are already up 3-0, and it was probably an hour before the game. Braves were out taking batting practice, but the stadium was already almost full, and the fans just started chanting, sweep, sweep. Sweep. And I looked at the Braves. The Brave players were looking around going, what is going on here? This is crazy. Now, they didn't win that game, ended up taking the series in six. But I still get chills thinking about that moment sitting in Qualcomm Stadium before game four of the National League Championship Series.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. I played one more year with the Padres in 99. Then I was traded to the Braves 2 years after the World Series, and that was one of the first things all the Braves who were on that team said to me was how passionate the fans were, how loud that place was. I mean, when you pack Murph, there's a lot of people, and it gets rocking, and it was so much fun to be a part of that.
Oh, I bet. It's and, you know, San Diego shows, if there's a good product on the field, they will come out, and they will be loud. Last year I was at one of the playoff games, and I'd never seen anything like it. And even many of the Dodgers called it the best atmosphere in baseball. And, you know, that's what we want to get back to. And I know you want the same for your Angels as well. I wanted to shift gears just quickly and talk about hitting. It's one of my favorite things to listen to people talk about. Yeah, because I can't hit, Randy, so I want to learn as much about hitting as I can. I got Wally Joyner here, and he's got over 2,000 hits.
Yeah,
so I want to hear from him.
I just want you to know it's the early 80s when I met Wally.
Yeah.
And he didn't have hair then.
It's one of my weaknesses, Randy.
It's his look. He looks
can't keep it.
He's the guy who looked most like the mascot of his own team when he came to be with the Friars.
Ball. I love it.
Randy, there's only so many perfect heads in the world, and I need to show it off, I guess.
Yeah. I love you, man.
So over the last, you know, there was this weird period in baseball where it was the, you know, three true outcome. It was strikeout, it was walk, it was home run. And guys figured out if I could hit 40 homers, I can make a buttload of money out there doing it. Have you seen in baseball, and I know there's not as many 300 hitters as there used to be. I value them. I think anybody that can get a hit, it's the hardest thing to do in sports. And the more you can get, the better off your chances will be. With some of the rule changes, and are you seeing a little bit of a return to baseball like you guys used to play it?
Yeah, I take hitting very seriously.
Sure.
And I had a lot of fights with executives when I was the hitting coach of the teams I was with. They wanted to really go in a different direction, launch angle.
Yep.
They they picked out different things that they felt were more important.
Sure. What was the most important thing to you as a hitting coach? Barrel? Just hit the ball hard? Barrel it?
Play coverage.
Coverage. Play coverage, yeah.
Understanding the strike zone.
Yep.
You know, throughout my career, there were, you know, a lot of hitting coaches I was with and hitting coaches on the other team and players. We all had different ideas, but one of the things that stuck with me, because I played defense also,
sure,
and I understood how escalated the inning can be when there's men on base.
Yeah.
And so on-base percentage, getting on base, pitch count, all of those things are important. But as an individual, I needed to understand what my pitches were that I wanted to look for.
Sure.
You know, if I kept looking for the pitcher's best pitch, I'd walk back to the dugout.
Sure.
Because he's making a lot of money out there.
Yeah.
Because he's got a great pitch that gets you out, right? So I'm trying to get the second or third or fourth pitch that he has to throw to me because it's not his best pitch, and I have a better chance of getting on base and making contact and getting a hit. So the understand, I mean, it's boring, but get on base.
It's not.
Get on base.
I love it.
And let the next guy, if he gets on base, now there's two guys, nobody out.
Now the defense
puckered,
yeah.
Right? Now the pitcher's puckering.
Yeah.
Now his best pitch of a slider is going to hang a little bit because he's going to tighten up a little bit. So all of these things play a role into winning a baseball game, and that's what we're there for.
I love it, man.
We're trying to win a baseball game. I never went up to hit hoping to walk.
Right.
But I knew that was in my back pocket. I knew that was an asset that I had, and so I was patient. I'm one of very few, I don't know how many, there's not very many that walked more than struck out in my career.
That's a huge,
that's amazing.
So impressive.
But I never went up to walk. I wanted to do damage.
Oh, my God.
Good luck imparting all that wisdom to this group here. Yeah. Wally, it was a pleasure. Thank you for sitting down with us for a few minutes.
Thank you guys,
enjoyed that conversation.
Appreciate it.
We're going to quickly check traffic, come back, wrap up the hour here with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danik.
Well, guys, the good news is I don't show any incidents or accidents at this time. Bad news is you're starting to see the usual slowing in the usual spots and then some. Yeah, Coronado Bridge looking pretty heavy over to the island, so you definitely want to give yourself a little extra time if that is your destination. I'm Kelly Danik with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You know, Wally Joyner talking about plate coverage makes me think of Luis Arraez and one of the newest Hall of Famers, Ichiro, who could put any ball in play wherever he wanted to, and it led him all the way to the Hall of Fame. We'll talk a little bit more about the inductions. I just saw our Hall of Famer, Trevor Hoffman, walking into the building. He is coming up. What else we have coming up here, Paulie? Well,
there's going to be a bit of a theme. I mean, first of all, how about Wally Joyner?
He's
that
amazing.
Was awesome.
He's great.
Not a lot of hair, as Randy Jones pointed out. That's going to be the theme of the morning, at least up until Trevor Hoffman, who still has all of his hair. Tim Flannery is going to join us here in about 7 or 8 minutes.
Okay.
And then we'll go to a commercial break. And when we come back after Flan, we will be joined by one Mark Mudley Grant. Also, not a lot of hair.
Not a lot of hair with our guest this morning.
Three Baldies and Trevor Hoffman. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Trevor still has time to shave his head before he joins us later if he wants to join the party. That would be sad.
It's a hockey limping around out here. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, he said his ankle's a little hurt from, I guess, just walking around.
Well, maybe I'll take him to the golf course later this week instead of time on the baseball diamond with you guys.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so that sounds like a pretty good second hour coming up with Tim Flannery and Mark Mud Grant, who are both coaches here at Padres Fantasy Camp. Going to be with now. Flan is your coach, right, Woods?
Yes.
And you guys are, what's your record?
1-3.
And you've got Terry Kennedy and Dave Dravecki.
Yep.
And you
also
guys are
1-3. We are playing each other this afternoon. So somebody's
the
getting
battle
that
to stay
win.
Out of the cellar is what I would call that at Fantasy Camp coming up later today. We'll take a timeout. We got Frank Marchese back in our studio as well. Thank you, Frank. More Bennett Woods with Tim Flannery coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.